Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. I am actually in Charlotte for All-Star Weekend. Maddie Lee is in New Orleans after the Thunder's 132-122 loss. Oh, I'm sorry, 131-122 loss.
Good. I was about to say, like, I might have put the wrong score if that was it.
Sorry I freaked you out there.
A lot of different things.
Sorry I freaked you out. But, Maddie, let's make this as neat and quick as possible about this game, because
the game sucks.
The term game, I think, is a very loose term to use for what happened tonight. They looked from the first quarter, and I was like kind of loosely watching this game because I'd done a bunch of stuff throughout the day, and frankly, like, I just wasn't that interested in this game, but I was kind of loosely watching it, and I just saw in the first quarter, like, the body language and the types of shots they were taking, and I was like, these guys are halfway out the door to All-Star. Like, some of these guys are probably thinking about some sort of beach. Some of these guys are thinking about what party they're going to be going to when they get here. It did not look like – and look, and this went for the
Pelicans. Except for Nerlens Noel.
Oh, Nerlens Noel played really well. And we'll talk about Billy's rotations a little bit before we kind of get away from this game. But – and then look, this is on the Pelicans side too. It just looked like a game. And if you look at a couple of the other scores in the league tonight, I think Charlotte lost by like 30-something to the Magic. The Knicks won a game. Yes, the Knicks won a game. Now, they beat Atlanta, but the Knicks had lost, what, 18 in a row prior to tonight? You just saw some weird stuff going on tonight. You saw, I think, a combination of games where some guys' minds clearly weren't in the game. And I think you saw the result of that in the Thunder's play. Now, granted, they were missing some players, but, you know, they were missing those players against Portland a couple nights ago. And they look just fine. Tonight, yeah. Different story.
As someone who's not a fan, who's just, you know, watching and observing and having to write about this, like, it would have been a good storyline if this was, like, a redemption game for New Orleans. And to their credit, they won it. But it wasn't like it was, like, an outstanding performance from them, which would have made it a better story, at least.
Yeah, it was more so just a poor performance from the Thunder, particularly defensively. I thought that they were a step slow on everything, whether it was pick and roll coverage or closing out to shooters on the perimeter. Of course, Julius Randle got his, because Julius Randle always gets his against the Thunder. And like you were talking about with the Pelicans, like, yeah, they won, but then you had the weird situation with Anthony Davis going out, and then during the game, they show him leaving the arena, like, as the game is going on, and it's like, oh man, it kind of just added, it literally added injury to insult, because Anthony Davis apparently hurt his arm, his left arm.
Did you read my story? Because I used that exact phrase.
Did you? No, I read your story. I must have just glossed over that part. We're just
the same type of not funny at all.
Peas in a corny ass pod. That's what we are. In a corny ass podcast. Peas in a podcast. You see what I did there?
It's good. It you was, see what you I know, did there? Same vein. Same vein.
Yeah. God, that's bad. That's so bad.
Why does anyone listen to us?
Because they love the Thunder. I was going to say they love us. They just love the podcast. Thunder. This is the number one rated Thunder podcast in America by Nielsen ratings that I just made up. But yeah, like, the Thunder played really poorly. I think it reflected in the shot selection, that guys were settling for shots. And look, Russell Westbrook has 40 some odd points, what, 44? It was nice to see Russell hit some shots, because we haven't seen a lot of that throughout the season. And frankly, at the end of the game, I thought Russell's defense was really – I thought he kind of turned up in the last few minutes of the fourth quarter, and he played some good defense. Now, too bad the team wasn't playing defense the entire game. Right. But no, you don't – you're probably not going to win a game where Russell's taking 12 three-pointers. Paul George shot terribly, 3 of 17 from three. just not a great performance from anybody in particular besides, you know, Raymond Felton played well, and then Nerlens Noel had a really good game. Let's talk about some of the things we actually liked from this game, because, you know, Paul George typically isn't going to take 17 threes. Russell's not going to take 12 three-pointers, which is absurd. But how about the Steven Adams Nerlens Noel lineup, which was very fascinating to me. It's a lineup we've seen basically for all of
a minute,
1 to 2 minutes before this game. They haven't had a chance to work on it a lot this season, and you're doing it a little bit out of necessity, because, you know, Patrick Patterson can't really stick with Julius Randle, or Anthony Davis for that matter. So you throw Nerlens Noel out there with Steven Adams, and, you know, for a little while, I thought in the first half it looked like a pretty effective lineup, and, you know, Nerlens was doing
really
a good job.
I really thought that was going to do it, like, because they look terrible. Everyone looks terrible. Suddenly, Nerlens comes in there and is making all these shots and is, like, clearly the spark, and they're back in the game. They tie it by the end of the first quarter, and I was like, okay, cool. It was just, like, one of those bad quarters, and now they're going to win. And then they, you know, backslid. But yeah, no, it was really effective, especially, I mean, Billy Donovan said that they've been, you know, preparing for this. They planned for it. They did in the last couple days leading up to this, because they knew that this was going to be something that they wanted to try out. But, you know, not something that they've done a lot. So I think it's something they can come back to, and a really, something they can build on.
Yeah, I liked it from that standpoint that Billy Donovan kind of used this game as an experimental game. And I thought that lineup was, you know, it was interesting to see, because we've been kind of waiting for Billy Donovan to break it out a little bit more when he's playing against, you know, two big guys. And then Steven Adams and Nerlens Noel aren't your typical big men either, because they can guard on the perimeter. So while it kills your spacing offensively, I thought you saw some things offensively actually that were positives in those lineups, because Nerlens Noel was able to dive to the basket when Russell Westbrook and Paul George drove, and they were looking for him. And Nerlens probably had his mid-range game working about as well as we've seen it from him this season. So I think it's a promising lineup. It's not something you're going to play every game, but when you go up against a team like the Pelicans, who has, you know, a guy as big as Julius Randle who can kind of handle the ball on the perimeter, and then a guy like Anthony Davis who's really versatile, and then another guy like Jahlil Okafor who's more of a traditional center, you can afford to play those Nerlens, Noel, Steven Adams lineups together.
Yeah, I like it.
What else do you like? Do you like anything else about tonight's game? It's okay if you say no, by the way, because
I'm really racking my brain. It was, we already touched on Russ, but he has a habit of, in the few games when Paul George either isn't there or isn't shooting well, he picks up the slack. And it seems like almost automatic. And the Thunder really needed him to. And you hear Thunder fans complaining all the time when he's taking a bunch of shots late in games, but, like, he was their best scorer, and so
yeah, Paul George wasn't very good tonight. It's okay to say that.
It's one of those nights when you want the ball in Russell's hands, not in Paul's, taking those shots, because they weren't going in for Paul.
No, and it's, look, like, Paul George has been so good this season. But, like, you could still just say, look, Paul George stunk tonight. Like, he wasn't good offensively. He made 3 of 17 three-pointers. He didn't, you know, get to the line as much as he probably should have or normally does. And when you look at Russell Westbrook's game, he needed 30 shots tonight, which is not ideal for Russell Westbrook. But Paul George needed 29 to get the 28 points. That's not efficient.
Yeah.
So Westbrook actually showed me more positive.
Westbrook was more efficient at the half. Let me look at the actual numbers.
Yeah. Aside from the three-pointers, he actually showed me some stuff that I liked tonight. You know, some of his drives were really good, being able to finish against contact, being able to navigate through a bunch of bodies. Basically, if he doesn't shoot 12 three-pointers, he has a good game.
A couple spurts where I think it was at the end of the second quarter, he makes a three, and then he takes another three and misses, and then takes a jump shot, a contested jump shot that he probably shouldn't have taken. And so you have those moments, but also, like, dude has the ball in his hands for so much of this game, and he's just trying to squeeze whatever he can out of this lethargic offense. And, you know, what can you do?
Let's briefly go back to the Steven Adams, Nerlens Noel lineup. The lineup that those two guys played together that played the most was 6 minutes. Westbrook, George, Nerlens Noel, Adams, Ferguson, with a net rating of -11.4. Pretty awful. They scored a ton, but they gave up a ton as well. So, just not – I mean, they didn't have many positive lineups tonight in general, but I don't think it's a lineup that you should necessarily say, oh, we can never play this lineup again, because I think you saw some positive aspects of it too. It kills your spacing offensively, but look, you score 128.6 points per 100. That's good enough. You just have to be better defensively, and frankly, they just weren't. I mean – they weren't. None of their lineups were good defensively tonight. So, it's a situation where, you know, the Thunder see some defensive improvement against the Blazers, and then they take a step back in this kind of weird, wonky game tonight. You know, you just hope that, you know, when the break ends, Jeremy Grant is going to be healthy, and you know, you presume that Dennis Schroeder will be back after, you know, getting a week plus with his family for the birth of his child, and you know, the Thunder can get back to business against Utah next week on Friday.
Yeah, it's time for a break for all of us, except for you, because you're working the All-Star.
Yeah, I gotta follow around. I'm going to follow around Trae Young a little bit tomorrow. Rising Stars game Friday night. Norman North's finest, Trae Young, OU's finest. He's been better. Just looking at some of his numbers since January 1st, I think he was shooting about, you know, 37% from three. And he and Russell Westbrook have been two of the, you know, worst volume shooters in terms of three-point percentage in the league. So, you know, Trae Young's kind of on an upward – he's kind of on an upward, you know, incline in terms of his play. I think he's been averaging around 19 points, 8 assists since the beginning of the year. And look, the Hawks have been playing better. So, I think you have to give a lot of credit to him. And I think he's going to be really exciting for the Rising Stars game tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to seeing him play with those guys because I know he's going to be able to set up guys for a lot of alley-oops. And, you know, it might be a situation where he winds up getting, you know, 15, 20 assists or something like that. So it'll be cool. And then, you know.
You get to hang out with Hami.
Hang out with Hamidou Diallo.
Who had a fantastic dunk in shooting around today that I barely missed. Like, I saw that I was talking to Ray and – heard the reaction and saw him land, but
almost doesn't count, Maddie.
But judging by the reaction from the guys and I won't tell you guys what it was in case he breaks it out. But I got a description from Ray since I didn't actually see it. Could be exciting tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow's Saturday.
No, tomorrow's Friday. Saturday dunk contest, Hamidou Diallo, that'll be cool. And then, you know, Trae Young will be in the skills competition on on Saturday as well. So it's gonna be a busy week for Trae Young, and he's gonna get to, you know, show off on a national stage, which is cool for him. And then you got the game on Sunday, you know, Paul George and Russell Westbrook will get to play on the same team, and you know, they were getting ready for the All-Star game, because Russell has a tendency to put up a lot of threes in the All-Star game now. Those guys combined for 29 three-point shots tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something similar in the game on Sunday, because Russell loves a three-pointer in the All-Star game, boy. My goodness. You're not going to see a lot of Russell Westbrook driving on Sunday. I assure you of that.
Yeah, things to not – that are non-recipes for success playing every game like it's the All-Star game. You know?
I know. Sorry. Sorry I left you hanging there. All right, let's talk about something else here. Now, the Thunder is going to be introducing a new player very soon. By the time we get back from the break, Markieff Morris will probably be in a Thunder uniform. I can safely say that he is going to sign with the Thunder. There are multiple reports saying that he will sign with the Thunder or he's agreed to a contract.
Paul George
talked tonight. About it tonight. nice work, Paul.
Which I'm sure the PR staff loved.
Yeah, considering that they haven't released a release or anything. But look, everybody knows he's coming. First of all, big get for the Thunder in terms of the buyout market. This is kind of something that everybody kind of projected for them because a trade would have meant that they not only had to give up an asset, but they would have had to pay the salary that anybody that they were trading for was on, and that would have crushed them in terms of the luxury tax. So they were always going to be more of a buyout market team. They missed on Wes Matthews. Wayne Ellington was another guy they had some interest in, they missed on. But frankly, I think that Markieff Morris might actually be a more valuable signing for them from the standpoint that their front court depth is a little bit thin in that power forward area.
And we've seen it since Jeremy Grant's been out.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you can maraud Deontay Burton as like a small ball power forward, but when the playoffs come, you're going to need somebody a little bit more tested, a little bit more true. And Markieff Morris is a guy who's 6'9", 6'10".
You're playing a team like the Pelicans and Deontay Burton's like 2 feet shorter than the guys that he's
a full 2 feet. That's right. 2 feet. But no, Morris.
You're not that short.
Morris can do a lot of things, size wise, and match up with a lot of different players size wise that a guy like Burton or Abdul Nader or even Patrick Patterson can't match up with. And there are a couple of questions that come with Markieff Morris. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's a veteran. He's been in the league for 8 years. He's 29, which puts him in that range. You know, with Russell Westbrook, Paul George. A couple of questions that come with him is, one, how healthy is he? You know, he reportedly checked out from a neck injury that kept him out for 19 games with the Wizards this season. But he got a second opinion. He checked out. He's going to return to play with the Thunder. But it's a question of how healthy is he? Can he bang? You know, can he play rugged ball? Can he play that physical style that the Thunder wants? And then my next question is he going to play any defense? Because he's coming from a Wizards team. We've seen this Wizards team this year. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. The Thunder put 134 points on the Wizards when Markieff Morris was in their lineup as a starter. And I was at that game in D.C., and I that was one of the worst defensive efforts I've seen from a team all season. So,
although it does help individual defense when the guys around you are a little better.
No, I agree. And I think that his motivation is going to be higher here with the Thunder because I think that Russell and excuse me, I think that you just got a different group of just players and seriousness here as opposed to in Washington. I think that Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams and Paul George are going to have a different level of accountability than, say, a John Wall would.
And they have more to play for, which goes a long way.
Yeah, yeah, and they could throw out more lineups with just better defensive players around Markieff Morris. And look, if Markieff Morris is motivated, and he should be, being a free agent, there's no reason to think that he can't give the Thunder a solid 25 games and however long they go into the playoffs. They're not going to be playing this guy 35 minutes a game. Jeremy Grant's still the guy at power forward. You need a solid 15 out of Markieff Morris, so a solid 20 some nights, 25 maybe some nights. But all you needed really is 15 from him. And then you get your 32, 35 from Jeremy Grant, and you're golden. He's a guy who can play some small ball center. He's going to play that backup power forward spot, presumably take – some, if not all, of Patrick Patterson's minutes, particularly when playoff time comes. When you've got a lineup of Dennis Schroeder, Markieff Morris, if healthy and motivated, and Nerlens Noel as your three coming off of the bench, that's pretty strong.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and you would presume that that's going to be, when the lineup's shortened, that's going to be your three that come off the bench to start the second quarter, to start the fourth quarter with, you know, with Dennis Schroeder and Paul George. Because it would be like a Dennis Schroeder, Paul George, Markieff Morris, Nerlens Noel, and then insert guy here. Maybe, you know, a little bit of Nader. Maybe a little bit of, you know, you might even see a little bit of like Adams or something like that. Not Raymond Felton. Jeremy Grant probably. Yeah, Raymond Felton's probably not going to play in the playoffs.
No. On the health note too, the Thunder wouldn't have signed him if they weren't confident that he was healthy. Granted, they could be wrong, but you know, you've got to assume that they've done a lot of homework on his health, because if we see it as a concern, they certainly have delved deep into it.
Yeah. Now, you know, you had an opportunity to talk to some of those other guys today and Billy Donovan. What do you think that this says about, or if anything, about Andre Robertson and where he's at?
What Billy said, I'll start there, was Andre Robertson is not back to doing on-court stuff yet. He's in the pool, he's doing rehab, but really for that 6 weeks, even though he was doing some rehab stuff, mostly it was just about resting. And so sounds like he's still got a ways to go. They said that they are still hopeful and optimistic that he'll be able to come back this season. But like, honestly, at this point, it seems not that likely.
Yeah, I don't think they should. I think they should just let him just take this whole thing off, not try and bring him back, and let him get a full year and then another summer of rehab and working his way back into conditioning.
I think it's smart of them to have that as a goal, to have Andre working towards coming back this season and have that as motivation. But just to not be doing stuff on the court yet at this point, it's not a good sign.
I don't know if he can help you. At this point, I just don't know if he can help you, because it's going to be a guy who's feeling his way back. You've got 25 regular season games left. Is that enough time for a guy coming off of that significant enough of an injury to – and it's not even saying he's going to be back in the first game out of the All-Star break. You know, like he might not be back until the last week of the season. I don't think that's enough time. I just don't. So I think that the Thunder is operating with the notion that Roberts is not going to be back this season, and I don't think that anybody else should expect him to be back either. And that's okay, because they've been a good team without him. Now – they could take it to another level if he's back at 100%, but that shouldn't be something they're expecting going into the playoffs or in the latter part of the season.
And if he somehow does pull it off and is back, congratulations to him, man, because it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'd like to see him back. That'd be great for everybody. That'd be great for the Thunder, certainly. But you want Andre Robertson back at 100%.
I still haven't seen him live.
You've never seen him play live. You've never seen the majesty that is Andre Robertson's defense, and I'm not being sarcastic. That dude, it's a joy to watch him play defense, the same way it is to watch Terrence Ferguson and Paul George when they're on play defense. Robertson's a man. He's an animal, man. He's incredible. Maddie, I sent you some questions, and I hope you had a little bit of time while I was talking and running my mouth to think about these questions. We're just going to go through a couple of these before we go into the break, and we'll have to do a podcast sometime during the All-Star break, maybe after the dunk contest. We'll do a short one, and then maybe I can finagle the Thunder into giving me one of these guys to come on the podcast. Maybe I'll let Hamidou Diallo come on here and
He is not gonna want to do that.
Oh, come on. You could try. Oh, you gotta try.
God. Definitely try. Absolutely try. You can be the one asking him to do that.
I'm sure he'll decline, but
media is not his favorite thing.
I'm gonna give it a shot. I'll try. Okay. All-Star break questions. A three-pack. Maddie, what was your biggest pre-All-Star break surprise from the Thunder in their 57 pre-All-Star break games?
I feel like there are a lot of ways I could... Oh, my. Sorry if you guys are hearing any of this banging. They're breaking down.
It's been going on the entire time, and I don't think it's that bad. It's not that bad.
Okay. That last one was pretty intense. There are a lot of different ways I could go with this question because I feel like they have outperformed my expectations. However,
I'm gonna go
specific and player specific. Abdul Nader is a guy who at the beginning of the season was still working back from injury. He was up and down between the Blue and the Thunder, not in the rotation, getting a couple minutes here and there. And he has become a really important piece for this team. We've seen guys come in. You know, we saw TLC come in when guys were hurt and provide some really important minutes and give the Thunder a boost when they're missing guys. But Nader's the one who has stuck around for an extended period of time and has really grown and developed in that time, too.
No, that's a good one. Nader's a guy who has his deficiencies, and I think that, you know, when the playoffs come, you're not going to have to worry so much about those deficiencies because, if anything, he'll give you – you know, 5 minutes here, maybe a couple of minutes here, a few bursts. You know, he'll probably be a guy that's limited to 10 minutes or less during the playoffs. He's not going to be playing a ton. But he's shown something, certainly since Alex Abrines went out around Christmas time with his personal matters. Abdul Nader filled in some quality minutes for this team when they needed him. And, you know, he's a guy who, you know, deserves to have a piece in this rotation, even though it's going to be, kind of shortened when the playoffs come because they're going to be adding a guy like Markieff Morris, too, and, you know, generally just rotation shortened when the playoffs come. I'm going to go with Terrence Ferguson because just from where he started the season offensively, just not taking a lot of shots to what he's become. And he wasn't great tonight, but, he did some stuff off. Yeah, even the stuff off the dribble is just so much better than he was even in the beginning of the season. Obviously, the defense is the biggest revelation with him from where he was last year. He was the worst defender on the team. Still needs to cut down the fouls, but Terrence Ferguson has turned into a starter.
He's one of the best.
Yeah, and he's a guy that makes you kind of think twice about, you know, the Thunder and their future with Andre Robertson. So, you know, Terrence Ferguson is one for the future and the present because he's made such great improvements in the past year.
It's a good one.
What do you want to see post All-Star break from the Thunder?
Honestly, more of what we've seen in the past, you know, take out this game, but that
this game was an abomination.
This was really ugly. But before that, they'd won 11 of 12 and had shored up their defense, and their offense has been really good since January 1st, mm-hmm. which is weird that it's so easy to pinpoint, but like really since the turn of the year, their offense has been really good. And they're just doing things efficiently. You have Paul George continuing, you know, he wasn't just Mr. December. He has continued on this crazy streak of playing. I know we say it all the time, but playing the best basketball of his career. And Russell Westbrook distributing really well. The one thing in that streak in that stretch would be if Russell Westbrook can shoot more efficiently, that would be great. But he's getting Paul going, but also getting a lot of different guys involved, and that's been a huge key to their offense turning around. So yeah, if I were to just write in the blank, it would be more of what we've been seeing recently.
I'm gonna go with more efficient shooting from Russell Westbrook, and that can come from a myriad of ways. That could come from his free throw shooting, to, you know, him continuing to drive at the rate that we've seen probably in the past month or so. I don't think there's any question that his increases in drives have coincided with the Thunder's offense opening up. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see better percentages from him. That might even mean a few more shots. I mean, a few fewer shots a game. It might mean, you know, getting in between 15 to 17 shots as opposed to, you know, probably like the 19 that he's at right now. And then the free throws. You know, he's got to get to the line a lot, and he's got to make a ton of shots. He's got to have more 8 of 10 nights from the line. He's got to have more 7 of 9s. He's got to have, you know, 10 of 12. He's got to have more of those nights. And I guess another one, a junior one, I'd like to see the Thunder play better against crap teams, because they've had too many of these games like tonight where they screw around and then they try and get serious in the last minute. But, you know,
which is funny because they were doing the opposite at the beginning of the season when they weren't playing as well overall.
When frankly, if they play well for the first 36 minutes, they won't have to worry about the last 12. They haven't had a lot of those three-quarter games recently, and there aren't as many of those in the NBA in general because the three-point shot is kind of erased. You know, these teams going blowing teams out.
They've been stressing me out. I'm trying to think the last time that I was writing the gamer for a game that was decided before, or at least comfortable before the fourth quarter.
You've had some stressful ones. You've had some Phillies. You know what? New York was probably the last one.
Yeah.
At the Knicks, at the Garden, was probably the last one.
Definitely the last one.
But you had Boston.
And it was an afternoon game.
Yeah. Whew. You had Boston. You had Philly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had tonight where.
Yeah,
Houston. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, you've had some ones. Now, good games, but just not ideal for deadline. Speaking of which, good segue. What was your best or favorite game of the first 57?
I think we might have the same one.
You think so?
I was gonna do the corny "let's say it at the same time" thing, but Houston. I think honestly, from just a general like fun to watch perspective, the Spurs game, the overtime Spurs game, was also fantastic. But if you're looking at good game to watch, where you saw a lot of promising things, like for a good best game for the Thunder, I'm gonna go with Houston. All the games are running together.
Yeah, it all runs together after a while. That was their best performance of the season. That was their best win of the season. I wouldn't even say performance because they were terrible in the first half. But that was their best win of the season. And the recency of that, I think, makes perfect sense to say that was probably could be your favorite game. I'm going to go with just from the experience and kind of I think it being kind of the national coming out party for Paul George, I'm going to go with the Brooklyn game. Similar –
Which, honestly, they played horrible.
Yeah, they played terrible. They played terrible for three quarters. But I think that was Paul George's kind of first MVP game or moment, where you saw him just scoring just every which way possible. Alley-oop dunks, three-pointers, just scoring at the rim. And then you kind of saw the best of Russell Westbrook late in that game, you know, setting up Paul George for that game-winning three-pointer. And just the attention he drew on that inbounds play, and Billy Donovan getting that timeout to set that up. And then the atmosphere was great too, because you just had a bunch of people who appreciated basketball just appreciating what Paul George was doing in that moment. That was a really cool, special game to be at. And, yeah, that was fun. I think that was kind of the start of, you know, hey, this is the Paul George MVP campaign right there. So that was fun.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think we've had a pretty solid podcast here. You want to go ahead and call it a night?
Cool. Wow, this seems very short compared to usual.
Well, I mean, that was a solid 36 minutes.
Oh wow, time flies when you're having fun and hearing constant
construction, deconstruction. Yeah,
exactly, in the background.
Well,
cool. Well, happy All-Star break, everyone. Are we, I should know this, and asking you this on the podcast is not good podcasting, but are we podcasting after the All-Star game and the dunk contest?
We will podcast after the All-Star game. You know what? We might as well do it after the dunk contest, too. I think there's going to be a lot to talk about after that. I will not do a Rising Stars podcast. I'm sorry, y'all. there are no Thunder players in the Rising Stars game, so I am not obligated to do a podcast after. I think that's in my contract, actually. So
Totally.
So we'll do one after the dunk contest, and then we'll do one after the All-Star game. So you guys can have something to work with. And then, you know, we'll probably do one during the week. Leading up to, if we get an opportunity to talk to Markieff Morris in the next week or so before they get back to Utah, they get back to their first game against Utah, we'll probably have a podcast in the middle of the week too. So that'll do it for tonight. Thanks for joining me, Maddie. Thanks for sticking around. Much love to you. Thanks for joining us.
Happy Valentine's Day to everyone.
Yeah, happy Valentine's to all y'all out there. I hope y'all had a great one. And I hope it wasn't built around, you know, watching the Thunder win a game, because you probably disappointed your Valentine if that was kind of the goal of the night. Because they didn't play well tonight. Then there you have it. But thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for sharing with your family, friends, pets, neighbors, significant others on Valentine's Day. And we will see you after the dunk contest on Saturday.